You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
So who here has ever had whiplash? Any of you? Just out of curiosity? Okay, a few of us, right? So whiplash is something that happens when you're heading in one direction and your body is like jolted into a different direction, right? Typically, we think of that in car crashes. And we think of that physically happening to us. But also, there are times where we can get some of a mental whiplash. Like when you're reading a book and you're going along and you're following along with the author and all of a sudden the author goes in a completely different direction. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? And so today, as we're continuing our series in Ephesians, it could feel like a bit of a whiplash as we continue with Ephesians chapter 5. And so I'm going to encourage you to open up to Ephesians chapter 5. That's page 978 in your pew Bibles. But as we read that, you may not have gotten the whiplash today. Well, that's because we started with verse 3. Right? Typically, if an author wants to change directions, right, we'll see that in a chapter change, or maybe there are three dots or three lines or something through the middle of the page so that we know that a change is happening, but sometimes it just happens out of nowhere. And as we're reading through Ephesians, it feels like that just happened, except we missed it because we started with verse 3 and we ended with verse 2 last week. But also, just as a reminder, they didn't have chapters and verses when they were initially writing this, when Paul wrote this letter. It was meant to be read in its entirety. It wasn't meant to be broken up into these little chunks. So if we're reading through this in its entirety, when we get to this section, it might feel a bit like whiplash. So to see if you can feel that with me a little bit, I'm going to start back with verse 1 of chapter 5, and we're going to read the first few verses here. So let me read for you. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are all out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Did you feel a little bit of whiplash there as we transition from verse 2 into verse 3? We go from Paul encouraging us to live our life as fragrant offerings, a sacrifice to God. We go from that very quickly into stay away from immorality. Or impurity. But it's really important to remember the context into which Paul is writing this letter. He's writing it to the Ephesians. And so to them, this actually may not have felt like quite the whiplash that we feel as we're reading this. If you remember just two short months ago when we started this series, we talked a little bit about the context. We talked a little bit about the city of Ephesus. And we talked about a temple that's in the center of the city of Ephesus. Does anybody remember who that temple belongs to? If you know the ancient wonders of the world or you were at the 8 o'clock service, you might remember it. It's the temple of Artemis. And so Artemis was a goddess and she was a fertility goddess. I won't go too much into that, but fertility rituals then were probably very commonplace in this temple that's in the middle of their city. In Ephesus, as they worshiped the goddess Artemis. So these Ephesian Christians, before they knew Jesus, before they were followers of Jesus, many of them were offering their bodies in these rituals as an offering and sacrifice, not to God, but to Artemis. So for these Ephesian Christians, going back to these sins was more than just committing these sins, right? Committing these sins, it's not good. But for them, it was more than that. For them, it was a bridge back into their idolatrous ways of life, back into serving and worshiping a goddess And for them, it was the goddess of Artemis. So what Paul is saying here, because he uses really strong language in the end of that section in verse 5, what Paul is saying here is for those who worship other gods, for those who live a life of practicing idolatry, there is no inheritance in the kingdom of God. All right, Paul uses very strong language here. But thankfully for us, we don't have a temple in the middle of our city that's built to an ancient goddess, so Paul must not be talking to us, right? Wrong. Right? We have our gods too. As a country, we have our gods. As individuals, we have our gods. And so what Paul is telling us is don't go back to your ways of worship. Don't go back to continually breaking that first commandment. Because Luther, in his explanation of the first commandment, he defines a god as that which we do all expect all good from, and in which we are to take refuge in all distress. So what are those things in your life that you expect good from? All good. Like, that's what gives you good things. And what are those things that we want to be removed from distress? If we're in distress, we go to that to pull ourselves out of that. Well, for some of us, especially over the last couple decades, the government and politics has become a god for us. We look to it as the source of all good. We say things like, boy, if only my political candidate would win, or if only my political affiliation would take charge, then everything would be good. But also more than that, we look to it as that source of where we can run in times of distress. And so it's not my job. It's not the church's job. It's the government's job to take care of those who are in need, who are poor, who are sick, who are hungry, who are homeless. That's a god. And so Paul might say to us today, everyone who looks to politics and government to expect all good and to take refuge in times of distress has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He said that Jesus has called you out of light and called you out of darkness and into light. Don't go back into the darkness. Some of us also, we look to our money as our god. It's our money that will make sure that we have enough for tomorrow, that is our source of all good. When we can have money to buy things, we're happy. And when we're struggling, if we just had enough money to get out of this hole, then everything would be better. So Paul might say to us today, everyone who looks to their wealth to expect all good and to take refuge in times of distress has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Jesus has brought you out of darkness and into the light. Don't go back to the darkness. For some of us, it's busyness that has become our god. Busyness is a sign of accomplishment. It means that we're important, we're needed. But busyness just pulls our families apart. Busyness takes time away from our personal time in prayer. It takes time away from our time spent here in worship as we gather together and encourage one another. And sometimes we might be here physically, or we might be reading the Bible physically or praying physically, but we're so busy that our minds are elsewhere. So Paul might say to us today, everyone who fills their calendar so full that they have no time for God has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. He says that Jesus pulled us out of the darkness and he has brought us into the light. Don't go back into the darkness. So as Paul tells us that today, how does he continue? How does he move forward? Let's keep reading it at verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And then try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Right, Paul starts this again as he's talking about don't go back into the darkness. He starts by saying, let no one deceive you with empty words. And really, that's what all of these gods are. They make promises, But those promises are empty. And often they run our lives as we seek after the promises that they have given to us. And so whether that promise is that busyness because it'll bring accomplishment and it'll mean you're worthy, those are empty words. You know, whether that promise is your money, right? That it will take care of all of your needs and then all of a sudden it runs out. Or you try to buy happiness with it and you get no happiness. Empty promises. Or whether it's government or politics and you just think, boy, everything would have just been all right. Or everything is all right when the guy that I want or the lady that I want is in charge. And politics is famous for making promises that are empty, that don't get delivered on. Paul says that you have been called out of darkness. You've been brought out of darkness and into the light. Don't go back into the darkness because it's just a bunch of empty promises. Walk as children of light. We continue with verse 15 where Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? Walk as children of light, not as unwise, but as wise. So what does it mean to be wise? What does it mean to walk in wisdom? What does the word wisdom mean? Well, Solomon describes us. Solomon from the Old Testament, the son of David, the king of Israel. The book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. And so Solomon says this as he opens up the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So Solomon says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Later in Proverbs 9, Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So he uses wisdom and knowledge interchangeably. And then really, this is just the introduction to the book. And so Proverbs has been called the book of wise sayings. So if you want to know really what it means to be wise, it's read the book of Proverbs. But it really all boils down to that what is wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord and the openness to instruction in God's word. But that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is a weird phrase because it doesn't really mean that I should be afraid of God. What it means is that I should have awe and reverence of God. So awe and reverence of what God could and really should do to me, what God could and should do to you. Right, and it's kind of like the awe and reverence that a son might have for his father when the son messed up and knows, you know, that this is what dad could and should do to me because I messed up big. It's that kind of awe and reverence, but also it's awe and reverence in what God instead chose to put the punishment on his son, Jesus. So maybe as earlier as I was listing off those gods that we have. Maybe you thought of something different, but maybe as I was listing one of those off or something that it hit a nerve a little bit with you today. And honestly, I had written one more down that I didn't even talk about because it was Husker football. And I didn't want to talk about Husker football today. But maybe that hit a nerve. And so maybe you shut down a little bit. Or maybe as that hit a nerve, maybe you started to kind of think through your mind, well, what can I do better this week in order to prove that I'm a better person to God? Well, neither of those directions are God's will for you today. Instead, what this law does, what these words do, is they actually show you that you can't do it. That you can't go a full day without breaking the first commandment. You can't go without going back to your idols. And so what the law should do, what these words should do, instead of shutting you down or making you try harder to please God, what it should do is draw you closer to Jesus. Because it's Jesus who took your punishment. It's Jesus who hung on the cross for you. It's Jesus who died and rose again for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It's Jesus who brought you out of darkness and has brought you into the light. We saw this last week, but as the Spirit works faith in your life, you have been clothed with Jesus because it's Jesus who fulfilled that law that you were unable to fulfill. And so when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see darkness. He doesn't see idolatry. He sees a bright, shining light because you have been clothed with Jesus. He sees the light of Jesus shining in you and then through you. Right? The light of Jesus is meant to shine in you and through you so that others might know who Jesus is. Right? That light's not meant to be hidden. It's not meant to be covered, and it's not meant to be kept for yourself. It's meant to be shared in your families and in your communities. So Paul says, walk in the light. Fear the Lord. Be open to instruction in God's word. Because Jesus has brought you out of darkness and into the light. Don't go back into the darkness. Instead, walk in the light. Not as unwise, but as wise. So then what does it look like to walk in the light? What does it look like to walk not as unwise, but as wise? Well, that's how Paul finishes out this section for us today. And so we're going to look at these words, starting with verse 15. Look at what Paul tells us. And we're going to use this time to really help us ask ourselves some questions each day. So first, starting with verse 15, Paul says this. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So the first question you ask yourself is how am I walking? Right? Am I walking as wise? Am I fearing the Lord? Am I walking in awe and reverence of Him? Or am I just doing whatever I want to do? Right? Especially as you try and pass down your faith in your homes from generation to generation, your family is the one who sees your walk better than anyone else. Right? My family sees my walk, the way I walk, better than anyone else. Am I walking as wise? Fearing the Lord in awe and reverence of Him, or am I walking as unwise and just doing whatever feels good at the moment? So that's the first question that you want to ask yourself. How are you walking, as wise or as unwise? The next question, we'll start again with verse 15, but we'll finish out the sentence. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So the next question to ask yourself is, you know, how am I using my time? We talked earlier about the God of busyness. Is there time in your life for Jesus? Is there time in your life to be here in worship? What does your calendar look like? Is that time of worship blocked out on your calendar? Is that time of daily Bible reading and daily prayer, is that blocked out in your calendar, or does it get moved around depending on how you feel that day, or if maybe there's something else going on that day, or you know what, I'm tired from the night before, so I'll just sleep in today, or boy, it's nice weather out, so I think I'll take advantage of that and just be home or mow the lawn. You know, how is your schedule formed? Do you start with Jesus, or do you fit Jesus in where he might sometimes fit? And then as we continue with verse 17, Paul says this, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what's God's will? Well, he tells it to us. He tells us in his word. And so time spent then here in worship, time spent reading your Bible, reflecting on his word, time spent in Bible study, in Sunday school, in confirmation, in small groups, in biblical conversations with friends and family, that time spent reflecting on God's word, that's what helps us grow in understanding of what God's will is. So how are you growing in the understanding of God's will? And then we'll conclude with this last sentence. It's about four verses long, but we'll read this last sentence and see what Paul says to us. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Basically, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Be in worship. Sing songs, sing praises to him throughout your week. Thank him for the good things that he does in your life. And then go and serve your neighbor. Go and love your neighbor. That's what it looks like to continue walking in the light. But as you hear these words, please don't hear this as condemning law or just another thing that I have to do to make Jesus love me more. This is your guide. This is the reminder that Jesus has brought you out of light, out of darkness, and into light. Now, this is what it looks like to continue walking in the light. This is what it looks like to walk with Jesus. So as you hear God's word this week, as you reflect on it, and then as you go into your families and into your communities to practice, to put it into practice, walk in the light. Walk in a way that's wise, walk in the light, not as unwise, but as wise. Prioritize your time with Jesus. Grow in understanding of God's will. Be filled with the Spirit. Be in worship. Sing praises to him. Thank him for the good things that he gives you. And serve your neighbor, right? Walk in the light, not as unwise, but as wise.